You're listening to the Burn Youth Podcast. We hope this message encourages and challenges you to live for Jesus. Let's get into it.
Oi, who's happy to be at Burn Youth tonight? Come on. Who's already had two rat tests this week? Come on, praying a blessing on you that his favor's with you. COVID's not going to touch you in Jesus' name. Hey, tonight is basically the eve of Valentine's Day. And so we thought we would do something a little bit saucy. No, we thought we'd talk about that. The title of tonight is Dating, Relating, and Mating. Now, who here was a little bit scared when they heard the title? Okay, don't be scared. Don't be scared. Tonight, we're just focusing on the dating part. We can leave the mating part for later. Tonight, we're talking about dating God's way. Dating God's way. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can date. There's a lot of different ways that the world says that you can date. There's a lot of confusion out there about how to date. There's a lot of confusion out in the world of what a healthy, godly relationship looks like. Mm-hmm. And so tonight we want to demystify some of that, and we want to give you God's perspective on a healthy dating relationship. How does that sound? Can I get an amen? Can I get a praise be to Jesus? Can I get a preacher white boy? I said, can I get a preacher white boy? Yeah. So if you don't know us, our names are Meg and Hamish Peterson. How you doing, babe?
I'm good.
good. We've been married for 3 years, 7 years together. We've got our beautiful son, Jones Winston Peterson, who's sleeping right now because he need to hear about dating for another 45 years.
he's going to live with me forever.
Okay, so how do we want to start, babe?
Well, why don't we start at the beginning? And the beginning, I guess, is that what actually is the purpose for dating, right? Like, why not just, like, do the whole arranged marriage thing, you know? Like, why not just pick someone out of a social media catalog and be like, yep, cool, done, you know? What is the purpose of dating? And the main thing that I have to say about the purpose of dating tonight is that dating is not just for fun. Okay? It's fun, but it's not just for fun. It's not just for fun. At the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, and it goes through the creation, the things that God created. When he created light, he created the world, he created the animals, he created everything. And in Genesis chapter 2, verses 18, it says, then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone after he created Adam. I will make him a helper fit for him. Mm. Or as the one on the screen says, I will make a helper who is just right for him. Mm. Isn't that so cool that at the beginning of time, God created man and then he created woman because they are the perfect fit for each other? That is so cool. Yeah. But the purpose of dating, in short, is so that you can find the person and someone else can find you who is the right fit for each other, who is the right helper for each other, who is the right partner for each other. That's the purpose of dating. And that's not saying that it's your chance to shop around and to be picky and to try a little bit of this, try a little bit of that. That's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about being able to look at somebody with the potential of being with that person for life.
Yeah.
And then being realistic about whether that person is a good fit for you and that you're a good fit for them. Okay. So as fun as it may seem, or as fun as it may be when you're young to be dating in school or whatever, I don't know how many of you have been in relationships. I don't know how many of you are in relationships, but it can go from fun to messy really, really quickly, really quickly. And that is the prime time of your life to make friends, to have good friends before you have a boyfriend, and then when things don't go to plan, then you have nobody. You know, it's the perfect time for that. Can I tell you as well, just a little encouragement, I think particularly for the girls out there, but also for the boys, that it's okay not to have had a boyfriend or a girlfriend in high school. You know, it doesn't mean that you are doomed for the rest of your life, or you're not desirable, or no one will want you. It doesn't mean any of that. You can be in a perfectly wholesome, fantastic relationship when the time is right.
Amen.
You'll find the person when the time is right. It's okay not to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend in high school just because everyone else is. It is okay to be the person that doesn't. And we're on... I mean, we've both been on different sides of that. I didn't. Hamish did.
Throw me under the bus, why don't you?
No, oh, no, I'm not shaming you. I'm just saying that we have both had that conversation and think that it is a wise choice to build great friendships and to do the best that you can at school and to get to know your parents. All of those kinds of things are so important and so valuable at your age.
Definitely.
That it's a healthy thing not to date in high school because you're not ready to get married, quite simply. Yeah.
Well, so, kind of flowing on from that, I guess the question is, well, when then is an appropriate time to date? You know, we know now that the purpose of dating is really to prepare you for marriage. So when then is a good time to date? In Song of Solomon, which is one of the sauciest books in the Bible, don't read it until you're 18, kids, but I'll give you a little glimpse. In chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "Promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and wild deer." Forget about that part. Just listen to this part. "Not to awaken love until the time is right." That's telling you that there's a right time and a wrong time to get into a relationship. There's a right time to awaken love and there's a wrong time to awaken love. Yeah. There's a right time to give your heart to someone and there's a wrong time to give your heart to someone. So we know that dating is preparing you for marriage, right? And so if marriage is a far off concept for you, if you're 13 and you can't imagine when you would get married, it's so far off, then it's probably not the right time for you to start dating.
Yeah. Right.
Now, this doesn't mean, let me just give you one caveat. This doesn't mean that teenage dating is wrong necessarily. And it doesn't mean that teenage dating will always fail. Mm. There are some couples we know that started dating in high school, you know, childhood sweethearts who are still together and strong today. Mm. It just means that the earlier you start, the higher the risk is, or the further you are away from being in a season where you can marry, the further you are away from marriage, the higher the chances are that the relationship is going to end in heartbreak.
Right.
And so you want to protect yourself. You want to protect your heart. You want to protect the heart of the person you're entering into a relationship with. Mm. And the best thing you can do is actually wait.
Mm.
Okay. If you're in high school now, I don't know what your parents would say, but if I was your dad, I would say, don't date in high school. If you can avoid it, don't date in high school. That's just what I would say. Ask your mom, ask your dad. But what I would say is don't date in high school because you're not ready for marriage. Marriage is at the very least a couple years away, if not a decade or so away. So wait, wait, you can wait. It's okay. Here's some signs that you're not ready to date. If your parents want you to date, if your parents don't want you to date right now, then it's not the right time to date.
Right.
Let me just say that very clearly. The Bible tells you to honor your mother and father. Let me tell you, when I was in high school, all of my relationships were against the word of my parents. All of my relationships were in direct disobedience with my parents. And even some of them, I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll start dating a Christian girl because that's what I'm meant to do. But my parents still said, we don't want you to date before you finish high school. And I still dated. And so I disobeyed my parents. If your parents say no, then the answer for you is no. It's not the right time to date. Here's another sign that it's not the right time to date. If your mom has to drive you and your girlfriend to the movies, then you're too young to date. Okay, let me just say it right now. Here's another one. If you have to pay for dinner with pocket money from chores you did around the house, then you're too young to date. If you want to date someone but you have zero intention on marrying them, then you're not ready to date. If you just want to have fun, if you just want to make out, if you just want to fool around, then you're not mature enough to date. Ask yourself the question, would I date myself? If I was someone else and I was looking at this guy or this girl, would I date myself? And if the answer is no, then you are not ready. You're not mature enough. You're not wise enough. You're doing things you know you shouldn't be doing. You need to work on yourself. So if you're undateable, then don't make someone a victim of you. Yeah. Work on yourself first.
Ouch.
I'm speaking from experience because I had a lot of relationships that were wrong, and not because the person I dated was a bad person. They were lovely people. I was not in the position to date. And so I broke their heart. Some of them came to this church and now they don't even follow the Lord at all because of me, I woke up love too soon and I broke their heart and I ruined my heart. Last one, here's a sign that it's not the right time to date. If you need to be in a relationship to feel secure, then you're not ready. Mm-hmm. If you need to be in a relationship to feel secure, you're not ready. You're ready to date when you don't need to date to be happy.
Yes.
You're ready to be with someone when you're content with being single. Mm-hmm. You're ready to find the one. You know how everyone talks about, I want to find the one. You're ready to find the one when you've done the work making yourself the one for someone else. Mm-hmm. Instead of going out trying to find who's the one, who's the one that the universe has called me to or the God has placed in my life, who is the one I'm going to marry, who's the one I'm destined to die with. Instead of focusing so hard on finding this romantic idea of the one, make yourself the one for someone else. Yep. Focus on yourself. Being a teenager, growing up in high school, it's the perfect time to work on yourself, to prepare on yourself. You're still figuring out who you are. Half of you don't even know who you are. Man, I didn't know. When I finished high school, I didn't know who I was. I'm 25 and I'm still figuring out who I am. Figure out who you are. Work on yourself. Spend time with Jesus. Don't rush the season that you're in.
Yeah.
Man, growing up, every season I was in, I was like, man, I'm 11. I can't wait till I'm 13 because then I'm a teenager. I can wear my cap backwards at school and get a sausage sandwich pushed in my face. And then when I was 13, I was like, man, I can't wait till I'm 16. I can start driving. Oh man, I can't wait till I'm 18 because then I'm legally an adult. Mm. Man, I can't wait till I finish Bible college because then I can marry my girl. Man, I can't wait till we buy a house because I hate this place. Man, I can't wait till I get out of this job because I can get to this next job. Man, I can't wait. And you get to year 12 and everyone's like, what are you going to do next? What are you going to do after school? Then you finish college or you finish university and they say, where are you going to work now that you finished your studies? Mm. Then you start dating a girl and they go, when are you going to get married? Then you're married and they go, when are you going to have your first kid? Then you have your first kid and they go, when are you going to have your second kid? And then you go back to them, when are you going to shut up? Because life's not about waiting for the next season. Life is about enjoying where God has placed you now.
Yep.
So don't wish your life away by wanting to be with someone when it's not the right time for you to be with someone. Enjoy being a teenager. Enjoy growing. God is shaping you. He's refining you. He's working on your heart. He's working on your character. Those core foundational things that need to be in place before you add a wife, kids, a dog, a mortgage. Those foundational things need to be put in place. So enjoy the season that you're in. Enjoy the process as he prepares you for your future, as he prepares you for your future husband or your future wife.
Mm.
That's all I got to say on that.
Awesome. Okay. Well, so if we know when to date and when not to date, then the big question is who? Who is your one? Who should you date? Or what kind of person should you enter into a dating relationship with as a Christian, right? Because we're talking this from God's perspective tonight. We're going to hit the hard stuff first and then it's going to lighten up a bit. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14, it tells us to not be unequally yoked or to not team up with those who are unbelievers. Because how can righteousness be partnered with wickedness? And this is kind of a hard thing to talk about in a sense because it feels like it's saying Christians don't go near unchristians Or well, non-Christians is the word. Non-Christians.
You said un-Christians?
I said un-Christians. Non-Christians.
Not yet Christians.
Correct.
In Jesus' name.
But there are some reasons for this that I want to explain to you tonight. Okay, it is so important that you have friends that aren't Christians.
Yeah.
Okay, and that you love them and that you show them Jesus and that you just are the best friend to them that you can be. So important. But there's a couple of reasons for this. And so I just want to give you a couple of other scriptures that help explain this. But in Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 to 6, it says, haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Everyone say one.
One.
So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Awesome. The other verse that I want to give you tonight is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And it says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. Everyone say alive.
Alive.
Alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved.
Come on.
Okay. So what those two verses tell us some really important things that explain this verse. If there's, if you can pop that graphic up on the screen for me, I just want to talk you through this little diagram here. And basically, we are all made up of our body, our soul, our emotions, our feelings, and our spirit. Okay. And our spirit is the part of us that when you become a Christian, as that verse in Ephesians says, our spirit was dead. And then when we allow Jesus into our life, into our heart, our spirit becomes alive. That's why it's called being born again. Have you heard that term before of being born again? Is because when God comes into our heart, we accept him. Our spirit comes alive. And that is why when we die, we can be in eternity with him if we have Jesus in our heart, because of Jesus, we have been made alive. Okay? And so what happens when you have somebody that is not a Christian, that hasn't got Jesus in their life? It means that on a body level, right? Those two circles there, you add them together and they can overlap. Okay? They can become one with your body. You can become one. With your soul, they're both alive. Your soul is alive. Your feelings are alive. Your emotions are alive for both of you. So those circles can overlap and become one. But when it comes to your spirit, if one is alive and one is dead, those two repel each other. Those two things cannot become one. And so the Bible says that we are designed to marry and become one person, one flesh. No longer two exist. But if you're with somebody whose spirit is not alive, then you can never, ever become one with that person. Because your spirit, the very depth of who you are, the biggest part of who you are that exists after you die, that part of you can never become one with that person. Okay, and that is why it tells us the importance of not marrying, not attempting to become one in this sense with a non-believer. Does that make sense? Okay, so what that means is on a practical level is that if you did marry a non-Christian person, and you're a Christian, it means when push comes to shove as well, that everything is so much more complicated, because when God is all that you have left to hold on to, you then, your partner isn't in that with you. And so while you're losing everything else and you only have God, you're kind of losing your partner in that situation too. It is so hard to be one on those things. You know, if you have a child that's in the hospital dying, and I hope that that would never happen to any of you, but you can't stand there and pray to God with your partner. You know, on a practical level, they're the kinds of things that just are so important that you are with somebody whose spirit is alive. I'm going to leave that one there for now. The second thing about who is someone that loves well. Someone that loves well. This is really simple. I want you guys to write down 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4 to 7. It's the most famous scripture in the Bible about love. And it says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. He doesn't insist on its own way. He's not irritable or resentful. He doesn't rejoice with wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things, and it endures all things. Okay, you want to find someone who's worth entering into a dating relationship with? Do a little check and put their name in this scripture first, right? Zeke's sitting there and he's going, Tia is patient and kind. Tia does not envy or boast. Tia is not arrogant or rude. Tia doesn't insist on her own way. She's not irritable and resentful. She doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but she rejoices with the truth. Tia bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Let that be your test. If you're thinking about dating somebody who loves well, someone who you can confidently say those things about, right? All right. The third thing is to, once you find someone that you might want to date, is not to have higher expectations of that person than you have for yourself. Ooh. Right? It means... Now, obviously, people have different things that they bring to the table. You know, Hamish and I are very different. You know, one of us might be more patient. One of us might be more charismatic. One of us might be more whatever, whatever. There are things that are so opposite in us, right? But I wonder. but for example, girls, don't expect him to romance you if you're not doing anything thoughtful for him. That's not a primary male's role. You can show love and be thoughtful towards whoever you love. You know, like it's not a male-female role thing to be thoughtful towards somebody. You know, you both have to bring something to the table. Look for somebody that you can be a team with, okay? That you can be a team with, not somebody that you need to just look after and not somebody, and don't be somebody that just wants someone to look after them. It works when you're looking after each other. You're a team. You're on each other's side. You're putting each other first. And that's when it works. That's when it works. The last thing I quickly want to cover with the who is just a couple of red flags, okay? Just a couple things that if you see these things, I'm not saying that it's like a hard pass because these things can be worked on, but definitely consult the Holy Spirit as a Christian and ask him what he thinks if you're seeing some of these things in somebody, okay? Red flags, aggression. Somebody who doesn't have self-control of their temper or is very consistently aggressive. That's something just to watch out for. Someone who is manipulating you, the way that they talk to you or the way that they control outcomes. Is manipulative. Someone who's jealous or possessive over you. Okay, if somebody starts trying to control you or restricting you or telling you what you can and can't do without your well-being being in mind or genuine concern for you, then they're things to look out for. Okay? Yeah, I think I'll leave that there. But
that's good. Yeah.
Who?
Wow, fantastic. Well, I think a good place to wrap up tonight is if you've been challenged with any of this stuff. If any of this stuff is, you know, the cogs are turning in your mind, you're pondering over it, you're thinking over it. Let me encourage you. Talk to your mum and dad. Okay, because we don't just want to preach to you about it. We want you to start a conversation with your parents, particularly if your parents know Jesus. They've got the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Talk to them, see what they say. Also, in terms of boundaries and when the right time is, like I said before, your parents have an idea of when the right time is for you. So have a chat to them. I just want to speak to one kind of person tonight. I want to speak to someone who is hearing us talking about dating, and you've never heard us talk about dating in this sort of way before. You've always heard dating about crushing and sexting and flirting, but you've never heard about dating from the Bible or dating from a Christian perspective. Maybe you're sitting here and you would say that you've never even heard about the love of God. Did you know that God loves you more than any human being on this earth ever has and ever could? The Bible tells us that because of God's love for you, He sent His only Son to be put on a cross, to die, to take your sin, to take the punishment for your wrongdoings to death. 3 days later, Jesus, His Son, He rose to life, meaning that we can have not a dating relationship, not a boyfriend-girl relationship, but the closest relationship ever possible with our Heavenly Father. And tonight, if that's you and this is all new to you and you've never felt the love of God, I want to pray a prayer for you to invite you to start a relationship with God. That might sound weird. God sounds pretty distant. Hey, He sounds like this big guy up in the clouds that smites people and throws lightning bolts at people. But I want to tell you that He loves you. He knows you by name. He knows every single hair on your head, and He would do anything for you to know Him and to know the love that He has for you. So can everyone, out of respect, bow your heads and close your eyes? If you're that person tonight and you want to know the love of God, on the count of three, I just want you to raise your hand. No one's going to be looking except for me and Pastor Meg. If you want to know the love of God tonight, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I see that hand, darling. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay. We're going to pray together for that person that made that decision. Keep your head down. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I want to know your love for real this time. Not an imaginary idea, but I want to know you closer than I know my best friends, closer than my mom and dad, closer than a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I want to know your love for real. Jesus, enter my heart. Tonight I make the decision to follow you for the rest of my days. And everyone said, amen. Put your hands together for that person who just responded to that.
Thanks for tuning in to the Burn Youth Podcast. To stay in the loop, follow us on Instagram @Burn Youth. See you next time.